Take back the city for yourself tonight. I'll take back the city for me. Take back the city for yourself tonight. Whoa, whoa. God knows you put your life into its hands, and it's both cradled you and crushed. But now it's time to make your own demands. Whoa, whoa.
Welcome to Third Paradigm, an out-of-the-box think tank about community sovereignty and regenerative economics. We look at how to take back our cities, farmland, and water, our money, production, and trade, our media, education, and culture, our religion, and even our God. We present a people's history of the Bible and a parent's view on how to raise giving kids in a taking world. I'm your host, Teresa Caraggio, broadcasting through Radio Free Brighton, Free Radio Santa Cruz, Upstart Radio Online, and through the Unwelcome Guest Collective. Multimedia transcripts to all shows are available on the web at thirdparadigm.org. Welcome to the 66th episode of Third Paradigm. Our title this week is Peru and the Free Trade Agreement. You heard that right. Not free trade, but free to raid. Let's jump right in and start with some history. In 2007, a determined Democratic caucus put their collective feet down. They refused to consider any more free trade agreements without a new model, with stronger protections for labor, human rights, and the environment. And so, in May, a deal was cut with the Bush administration for a new and improved FTA with Peru. In response, the AFL-CIO and other unions agreed not to oppose it, effectively blocking the coalitions to which they belonged. Environmental groups promised their neutrality in exchange for an agreement not to log old-growth forest. Church and human rights organizations said they wouldn't rally their members if progress were shown on reducing abuses before the FTA was implemented. And so, proponents of the FTA bargained with leaders of the major issues and came up with win-wins. After flexing their collective power for these concessions, each alliance told their member organizations to stand down. When the Finance Committee reviewed the draft, however, Senator Jeff Bingaman noticed a flaw. There was no funding for independent oversight. He proposed $30 million over 5 years to monitor whether export factories were complying with the labor laws. But he was ruled out of order because, under the process called Fast Track, no change can be made unless necessary in order to implement the FTA. No funding was therefore approved, nor any agency to which workers or communities could appeal. In Chapter 10 of the agreement, though, there were 46 pages of investor protections. These included reparations owed by Peru's taxpayers if new labor or environmental laws threatened the investors' expected profits. The International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes was designated as the court of jurisdiction. Out of hundreds of cases filed by corporations against countries, only one case has ever been filed there by a country against a corporation. To research conditions, a congressional delegation went to Peru, but failed to meet with the major civil groups representing research, social development, agriculture, labor, and health. These organizations sent a joint statement of objections to Congress, but it was never entered into the debate. In July, millions of Peruvians marched in a nationwide mass protest against the FTA, involving teachers, miners, agro-export workers, textile and industrial workers, students, and small merchants. 10 days later, President Garcia passed 11 executive decrees giving immunity to any police or military who caused death in the line of duty. He also established 20 years of imprisonment for teachers who encouraged minors to belong to gangs, or anyone who collaborated with terrorism. This included peaceful protest and what was called information terrorism, like respected economist Professor Pedro Frank and agroecologist David Baer. Next, 70% of Peru's Amazon was zoned open for oil and gas exploration, with the director of Peru's protected forest area fired the day after he pointed out that this violated Article 18 of the pending FTA. A year prior in Peru, though, things had been looking up. The right-wing pro-U.S. candidate had been soundly defeated in the election, leaving a runoff between Garcia and a nationalist who rejected foreign trade and investment in favor of domestic trade. To attract bipartisan votes, Garcia promised to reinstate labor rights taken away in the 1990s under free market policies, and to revamp the FTA to protect labor and resources. He would invest in infrastructure for the Sierra Highlands and the Eastern Amazon Basin, two of the poorest regions, who overwhelmingly supported the nationalist candidate. Privatizations would be reversed, and a constituent assembly convened. Wealth would be distributed to improve the living standards of all Peruvians. His party, APRA, calling itself the Party of the People, spoke strongly against imperialism. Through these election promises, Garcia won, but still by a slim margin. Within Garcia's first month in office, he had repudiated his campaign promise to rewrite the FTA and made its signing by Congress his first priority. He named pro-U.S. businessmen and an OPUS-DA member to his cabinet. He introduced economic austerities to the regions that had opposed him, to attract foreign capital and to promote development. Within the year, his approval rating dropped and unrest soared, to which he responded by militarizing major ports, airports, and power stations. Does any of this have a familiar ring? Before our heads start spinning and we spew forth the name of Obama appointees, let's pause for some poems. These are New Year's Prayer by David White and New Year's Resolution by Philip Appleman. The music is Balake Sissoko with Improvisation 1. New Year Prayer. This robust heart involved with too many worlds for its own good, this portion of creation constantly trying to make itself singular, this chef at home in the kitchen among the gleam of knives, sommelier among eclectic bottles, sometimes dreaming as a hermit among leaves, drinking the centuries of inherited silence, sometimes the social host opening the doors and lighting the candles, often a father lifting his daughter high up above him, and then the husband, sheltered by night, attempting to talk and talk again. Too often now, as the years go by, the son worrying for a father, sitting Atlantic miles away in a silent, remembered parallel. And now, this other parallel, this symmetry inside for everything on the outside. The writer in winter at his desk, caught in the light beneath the window, bringing together the last and the first, the middle and the edge, the near and the far, the troubled lives all calling for the one line and the one life, for creation come together in a central unspoken wish, to be held and made one like a God's blessing out of nowhere, the pen somehow touching a wound that heals them all. David White from Riverflow. New Year's Resolution. Well, I did it again, bringing in that infant purity across the land, welcoming innocence with gin in New York, waiting up to help Chicago, Denver, LA, Fairbanks, Honolulu. And now the high school bands are alienating Dallas, and girls in gold and tangerine have lost all touch with Pasadena. And young men with muscles and missing teeth are dreaming of personal fouls. And it's all beginning again, just like those other Januaries in instant replay. But I've had enough of turning to look back, the old post-morteming of defeat, people I loved but didn't touch, friends I haven't seen for years, strangers who smiled but didn't speak, failures, failures. No, I refuse to leave it at that, because somewhere, off camera, January is coming like Venus up from the murk of December, re-virginized, as innocent of loss as any dawn. Resolved, this year I'm going to break my losing streak. I'm going to stay alert, reach out, speak when not spoken to, read the minds of people in the streets. I'm going to practice every day, stay in training, and be moderate in all things. All Things But Love. Philip Appleman, New and Selected Poems, 1956 to 1996. The music was Belaka Sissoko with Improvisation 1. The poets were David White with A New Year's Prayer and New Year's Resolution by Philip Appleman. This is Third Paradigm, and we're talking about Peru as the model for the new and improved Free Trade Agreement. Since the architect of NAFTA, Richard Daley, is now the gatekeeper for the White House, we're going to need all the New Year's prayers and all the resolve we can get. While the FTA was being considered, a devastating earthquake hit Peru's Ica Valley. In a U.S. blog called Truth About Trade and Technology, Iowa farmer Dean Kleckner seized on the opportunity to push the deal, writing, "Give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he will eat for a lifetime. It's appropriate to give them all the fish they can eat now, but rather than give them handouts once they're back on their feet, we should provide them with economic opportunities." But Kleckner may have been fishing himself, since the Iowa Kleckners have received over $1 million in farm subsidies over the last 10 years. In all, since 1995, the U.S. has given $75 billion to subsidize GMO corn, for which Peru was one of the top 20 importers in 2007, up 60% from 2006. Under WTO rules, debtor nations aren't allowed to subsidize their own crops. But Garcia has found a way to subsidize exports. They get free water, while families and subsistence farmers have to pay. Information terrorist and agroecologist David Baer is a former USAID deputy executive officer who resides in the Ica Valley. For decades now, he's devoted himself to undoing the damage of a former USAID project, asparagus. He writes, "Asparagus is the worst possible crop for a desert climate like Ica. Israel would never consider it. As a farm advisor in Sacramento, I worked a huge asparagus production area that contained an abundance of water from the Sacramento River and floods from the fall-winter rains. In Ica, we generally have no rain. The Ica River carries water only during March to May and 1 month in October or November. Asparagus is a crop which uses 5 to 7 times the amount of water as our traditional Ica crops. The most natural being fruits like grapes, avocados, pecans, oranges, apples, guayabas, etc. But in the 1980s, with help from USAID and UC Davis, the asparagus export program was installed without an environmental impact study. Peru became the leading exporter. At the same time, the Ica aquifer began its decline to the point that Ica will have no drinking or irrigation water in 5 years. 311 million cubic meters of water is overdrafted annually. Divide that number into the reserves of 1443 MMCs, and you get less than 5 years until the aquifer is dry. And when the aquifer declares bankruptcy, the working class will have lost far more than money. Since NAFTA, U.S. imports of asparagus have risen 2,500%, from 6 million to 160 million pounds, with devastating effects on domestic farmers. In 2003, Green Giant and Del Monte relocated several large processing plants to Ica. The same year, California asparagus farmers plowed under their crops, which take years to establish because they weren't worth the price to harvest. Washington, a major asparagus processor, lost 3/5 of their asparagus acreage over 6 years. A video called "Asparagus: Stalking the American Life," featured by the film club Ironweed, tells the story of Michigan farmers and their creative attempts to save their way of life. In 2007, UC Davis tried to make up for helping to relocate asparagus to Peru by doing a detailed cost analysis for the San Joaquin Valley farmers, where ideal conditions had formerly made it the asparagus capital. Asparagus takes 4 years to reach its peak harvest of 4,000 pounds per acre, at which point each acre costs about $4,000 to cultivate. This gives them a profit of $45 per acre. But by then, they've accrued losses of $2,000 per acre, and they still have to pay for the land and the equipment. When this is figured in, they're $3,000 an acre in the hole to begin with and continue to lose $300 an acre by operating at maximum efficiency. This qualifies them for the grand prize, $12,000 in Trade Adjustment Assistance, or TAA, from the government after they've attended training and presented a business plan to do something else. Maybe they can move to Iowa and work for the Kleckners. In this precarious commercial balance, both the U.S. and Peru's food security and food autonomy are falling fast. the U.S. now imports 7.5 times more vegetables from Peru than it exports. And Peru now imports more food than ever, paying 10 times more than it paid 10 years ago. Although industry enthusiasts call asparagus an engine for economic growth, agro-export workers earn the U.S. equivalent of $236 per month, while the cost of basic food for a family, called a breadbasket, is $414 per month. Maybe they need a little TAA and TLC too. Let's pause for a song. This is John Trudell with It Is What It Is.
It is what it is. So no use in wishing, hoping, and wanting. And those if only and those coulda, shoulda, and wouldas are just troubles for the head. And crying around about most anything is just a waste of tears.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Life doesn't put anything in front of us that we can't handle. It's all in the handling. Coherent or incoherent. Clarity or chaos. Another thing, everything that ever happens is there to make us stronger. And when we understand, our strength gets stronger. And when we don't understand, our weaknesses get stronger. It's an inevitability.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. And when falling down falls down, how down can falling down,
falling down
fall?
Falls down. How down can falling down fall?
And when getting back up gets back up, how up can getting back up get back up? In the reality of being, reality waits for human recognition. To recognize the power of intelligence clearly used is a way of seeing, curing, healing spirit. It's not about whether we can or can't. It's about whether we will or we won't.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. The blamers and the blamed.
The blamers and the blamed.
Play a dangerous game.
Play a dangerous game.
Turning responsibility into another one of their casualties. Inside of ourselves and amongst ourselves. Desperating while hidden behind the light cast by our shadows. Life holds its breath, and alive wants us to live the gift we were given. It's a decision we made.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So no use in wishing, hoping, and wanting. And those if only and those coulda, shoulda, and wouldas are just troubles for the head. And crying around about most anything is just a waste of tears.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
was John Trudell with It Is What It Is. You're listening to Third Paradigm, and we're talking about Peru as an example of what a free trade agreement is and what it ain't. For taxpayers, workers, and small farmers on both sides of the divide, it ain't free, it ain't trade, and it ain't an agreement. How much money does Peru as a whole make from asparagus exports? According to a presentation to the 2006 Ways and Means Committee, only 30 cents on the dollar. The other 70 cents goes to U.S. supermarkets, wholesalers, shippers, distributors, importers, and storage owners. But out of Peru's remaining 30 cents, there have to come seeds, materials for processing, fertilizer, and pesticides, which all come from the U.S. And then there are the tax breaks. Agro-export profits are taxed at just 15%, half of the national average paid by other industries. So who does benefit from free trade agreements? Peruvian economists like information terrorist Pedro Frank contributed to a regional analysis called GRADE. It predicted that the FTA would increase revenue by $575 million for city dwellers, but that $158 million would be taken away from poor rural populations. The Sierra Highlands, with the most extreme poverty, would lose $100 million, while metropolitan Lima, where the wealthiest live, would gain $350 million. From a distance, therefore, the FTA looks like it brings money into Peru, but it actually makes the rich richer at the expense of the poor. Products and agriculture flow out of indigenous communities while the profits flow to wealthy business owners, who buy electronics and luxury goods from overseas and send their kids off to U.S. and European colleges. The loss of land and livelihoods exacerbates the rural to urban migration, overburdening population centers with greater unemployment. So while Wall Street touted the $7 billion in trade created by the FTA, to Incan mathematicians, shipping food 4,000 miles away in order to buy food from 4,000 miles away doesn't compute. Trade definitely doesn't make the grade. With all these problems, should there even be free trade agreements? Let's reverse that question. If trade is a good thing and free is a good thing, then why shouldn't all trade be free? One good reason some trade shouldn't be free is if it destroys the land, water, or air where the products are made, mined, or grown. A second is if it destroys the people by undermining their livings or by supporting violence to displace or oppress them. Under these circumstances, trade shouldn't even be allowed, much less be tax-exempt. But in fact, the situation is worse. As the Network for Global Justice and Investment writes, nations have been sued for seeking to safeguard their people's health, to control their water and other resources, and to reshape their communities in the public's interest. Foreign investors have been able to win hundreds of millions of dollars in damages in legal playing fields tilted heavily to their advantage. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., our taxes are subsidizing the Kleckners so they can export their corn to Peru at prices Peruvian farmers can't compete with. And while they enjoy tax-free trade at our expense, it's illegal for us to trade with our neighbors without paying taxes. We need free trade between neighbors and not between nations. And we need to start calling these agreements what they are: subsidized investor corporate kleptocracy, or SIC. This has been Teresa Caraggia with Third Paradigm. For web production, thanks to Mike Sirocco, and for the poems, thanks to Joe Riley of Panhala, which means source of deep water. And for all the songs in this show, thanks to Dan Roberts, the prolific weekly producer of The Shortwave Report, Youth Speaks Out, and Rhythm Running River, 2 hours of spoken word and music. Our closing song from this free-flowing aquifer is by Buffy St. Marie, called No No Keshegesh. Thanks for listening.
I never saw so many.